I knew I needed the worship time this morning. So I don't know about you, but coming here this morning, I was a little sluggish, and even a few people that I talked to already, I was like, I just need a couple worship songs, get the adrenaline going, you know. So praise the Lord. All the songs are very beautiful and ministering to me. So I'd like to invite my wife up here. I'm just going to take a few moments together. This should work. And really, first things first, right? First things first. It's in light of Thanksgiving week. You know, this is a big moment for us. As you, I'm sure you could imagine, it's a big moment for you. There's a journey on both sides, right? there's a journey of ERC. There's a journey of our family, and now it's quite obvious the Lord has allowed us to intersect our journeys together. So we're excited. So right now, I just wanted to take a couple moments to say thank you. You may recall on the candidating weekend that Beth expressed a desire before all of you, so it's on record, that she desires to help me, to be a helper. And so we're going to put that to the test right now. That's what I figured would be best. And so before the message, we just wanted to take a few moments to share our appreciation for all of you. So that's pretty much what we're doing right now. So she's going to speak a little. I'm going to speak a little. Hope this isn't a little cheesy. But it's really just a way to, you know, have us both together, you know, express these things to you. So
I wanted to thank the leadership especially, but for everyone here at the church, just for all the time, the energy, the prayers that went into the process through the candidate dating process, and just we really appreciate all that you've done to bring us to this point, and I know it was a lot of work, and thank you.
Yeah, and obviously, we've already expressed this to many of you, but we really have felt so much love and support being here. And we've enjoyed the candidating weekend. All the ministry fair was like amazing. Like, I've never seen anything like that, to just see all that God is doing here. It's very obvious that He's clearly at work right here through the body of ERC. And that's very special. So that was like an amazing takeaway from the candidating weekend, just to see all the time you put together, little poster boards and pictures. So anyway, thank you for that.
And we're just really excited. We're looking forward not to just learning everyone's name, but to getting to know you each more, and just having more opportunities to connect with each one of you. And so we're excited about that, and about just all the ways that we believe that God is already at work and will continue to work here. And we're excited.
Yep. So as you could imagine, our family is now in the middle of a pretty major transition. Every sphere of our life is changing like simultaneously. So it's not like, oh, you know, God is calling us to relocate to a new home, you know, or a new job, right? Or a new school, or a new church family. It's like everyone all at once. So pray for us, please. Pray for us, please. You know, we're in brand new territory here. You know, God has uprooted us before in our transition. You know some of the story from New York to New Jersey. My family moved here, and we've been here over 12 years now. But yeah, it's a big deal. So we covet your prayers, and please be patient with me too during this transition, as God helps me develop into this role and just kind of managing a lot of the logistics that are going on behind the scenes that probably most people won't know about. But anyway, just thank you, and I just wanted to express that part. So she has a little more.
Really, we've only gotten a peek of the house, but we do know that there's a lot of work going on there, that people have put in hours already and are still putting in hours of work and labor, and we just so appreciate your hearts of service and obvious love on our behalf, and so we want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more humbling parts. I mean, in every sense, there's a lot of humbling parts in this whole thing, but really, we all have to know the church isn't about one person, right? It isn't about one family. You have to understand. Right? We already sang songs just lifting up the name of Jesus. He is the head of His church. right? So the church is about all of us because we all have a part in it. We all have a part together in what he's called us to do right here. So don't ever misunderstand or don't ever, you know, conclude or think that maybe because of certain traditions, you know, there's a perception that, oh, like, this is about one person. No, no, no. Like, that's never our message. That's never our heart. And if anything, for anyone to believe that is a trap. It's clearly a trap because it nullifies the significant role that everyone here plays together. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, just wanted to, you know, in light of, you know, all the work that's going on, you know, that's we're seeing a demonstration of the stewardship that God has entrusted the ERC. I mean, it's an amazing story, you know, just setting apart this place, this whole place, you know what I mean? So anyway, yeah, thank you for all that you guys are doing. It really is humbling. So, but it's unto him, you know, all things unto Christ, all things unto Christ. So
again, we're just really excited about what God has in store. It was our prayer that he would fit us together where he wanted us, and we believe that he's made it overwhelmingly clear, abundantly clear, and he brought us here to ERC, and we're excited to see how he's gonna work together, just as his plans and purposes for our role here to unfold, and so we're excited.
Yeah,
yes, answered prayer.
Yeah, you don't you know, move away from the ocean. You know, like, I mean, we were 10 minutes away from Long Beach Island. Not that we went there a lot. But it's like, hopefully one time, sometime soon, we'll be able to share more of the backstory. Because the backstory is quite amazing as to how God really ministered to us and led us here. And all the journey behind the scenes, you know, that a lot of people don't know. I mean, a lot was shared here, I'm sure. But really, just thank you for, you know, your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading in all this, for your prayerful consideration of the fact that God was working out of the box, you know, in a lot of ways to really bring this about, you know, and it's a very wild story, you know, and God does some amazing things, and we are certainly looking forward to more amazing things that he has in store for all of us. So, yeah, really, it's something only he could have done. It's something only the Lord could have done. So, anyway, thank you, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
Even that gets recorded, my sniffles. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in your house. God, we look back, we see your hand of goodness and your loving kindness surrounding us all the days of our life. So, Father, would you just speak to our hearts, Lord? We thank you for already speaking. You are in our midst, Lord. And I just ask for your help as I communicate your word and the message that you've put on my heart. And may we all respond to it as you intend, Lord, even myself. God, we grow together here, and I thank you for it. So, Holy Spirit, take control. You are our teacher always, and minister through these attempts, Lord, to communicate your truth and your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, the message I have direction on for today won't be as long as last time. Got a little excited. Sometimes it still may happen, though, and I pray, Lord, I never lose that. But I do know that having direction is helpful. So some of you may have noticed, if you've kind of dipped in and out of the church property this week, I drive a 2004 Buick Rendezvous, right? It's a medium-sized SUV, if you're not familiar with it, and it has a United States Navy decal on the back. Now, I never served in the Navy, but there's a story. I know, sometimes it's nice. People say, oh, thank you for your service, and I just let it go. Like, God bless you, yeah. Feels good sometimes to put that sticker up there. But really, the story, again, there's always a backstory. The backstory to the car is that it belonged to my grandfather. So before he passed away, he gave it to me. So I'm just going to stay right here for a little bit. My previous car was a 1999 Toyota Camry, which I only sold at the end of last year, maybe January this year. It was my favorite car, like no joke, my favorite car. Like that thing would cruise. It had over 215,000 miles on it, and it still got amazing gas mileage, had great acceleration. I upgraded the sound system because I really do love my music when I drive. And I did a lot of commuting. So if you recall some of my background, I worked in retail a lot, and I commuted all over the place. So yeah, it was a great commuter vehicle. So it was definitely my favorite car. I could hardly see myself driving anything else. Like, I'm just sold. Like, kind of like if you have experience with something that treats you really, really well, right? Technology or a car, whatever it might be. You're like, all right, I'm sold on a Honda, or I'm sold on GMC, I'm sold on a Pontiac, which doesn't exist anymore, but anyway, you get the idea. So I got attached to my car, and I'm sorry it's not a motorcycle, because I know I get a few more amens if I start talking about a motorcycle right now, but I'm a Camry guy, I have to admit. Be patient with me, like I said. Maybe one day you'll get me on one for a picture, but that's about it. So my Camry, which I loved, sounds weird. Man, I'm sorry. My Camry, all of a sudden, kind of like out of nowhere, just started needing like lots of major repairs. And a very close friend of mine, a brother, in the Lord, he's like a master mechanic, and he's probably one of the few that could kind of convince me, like can kind of speak like a hard word into me. You know, we all need someone like that. He could kind of tell me what I need to know. Well, I remember when he broke the news to me, and he said, "It's time to say goodbye to your Camry. It's not worth putting any more money into it." And honestly, I was so sad. It sounds funny, I know. It's like a material thing, like whatever. But I really liked that car. I just could not see myself driving anything else. So I received his counsel because he's a very reliable, trusted source and a true friend. So I had to let it go. Bless you. So what did I do first? I started researching newer Camrys, right? Because in my mind, in my optimism, which Beth will tell you, I'm quite the optimist in certain things. And I wasn't even looking at money or anything. I was just like, in my mind, my knee-jerk reaction was like, all right, I'm sold on a Camry. All right, I need a car now. I started researching new Camrys. Well, oh my goodness. I cannot afford a new Camry. I couldn't afford a pre-owned one. So I was kind of wrestling with that a little bit. And right around the same time, that's when the Buick Rendezvous came into the picture. So I definitely needed a reliable car for all the commuting I was doing. So the Rendezvous belonged to my grandfather, as I mentioned. He was a World War II disabled Navy veteran, 93 years old at the time, just last year, because he just passed away New Year's Eve. So he was no longer able to drive. The car was just sitting in the driveway for a while. So when he heard about the need that I had, he didn't even hesitate. He was just like, it's just sitting there. You know, I'm paying the insurance. I remember his words, like, I'm paying on insurance anyway. It's a waste of money. So he offered to give it to me. And all I had to do is just, put a little bit of money into fixing up some minor repairs. So it had 55,000 miles on it, which was like, whoa, right? Like, that's unheard of for a car that's a 2004. It was in great shape. It was not fuel efficient. It was not ideal for my commuting. But it was offered as a gift by someone who loved me. I thought to myself, how could I not accept it? So I did. Accepted the car, right? Who wouldn't? I suppose when I'm really honest with myself, I went through the motions a bit. Because keep in mind, I was still dealing with, I guess, the grieving, the grieving of my Camry, And I was like, I don't want to drive that thing. Like, that's just not me. You know, I just don't picture myself in there. And I really struggled with it. Again, I'm just being really honest with you because, you know, that's a good thing to be, right? Just be open with each other. So I was going through the motions a bit in my expressions of gratitude, but my heart was not in it. And I kept comparing. I kept comparing my Camry to the Rendezvous that I now had. I'm just like, well, it doesn't do this. It doesn't have that. You know, it's not this. It's not that. And I just didn't have the right perspective, you know. So I initially focused on all the negatives. That's basically what happened, you know. Like so to my grandfather, I'm thanking him. And of course, like, I'm believing that was genuine. But behind the scenes, I was struggling a little bit because I'm like, I still have my sights on something else. So I couldn't see, I guess one of the main points in that is I couldn't see the blessing that was just clearly right in front of me, you know, clearly right in front of me. So although the Rendezvous was not at all what I wanted, God knew. God knew. In every sense, it was what I needed. So, and I eventually saw so clearly how God's timing could not have been more perfect in His provision for this car, for this Rendezvous. So the sad part was that as I'm sharing this, like even as I'm preparing this, I realized that in hindsight, you know, the sad part is that really I wasn't truly grateful when it was given. Like, I received it, but really I wasn't truly grateful at first. So I don't know if you could relate with that. You know, maybe you could apply it. Maybe the Lord will help you apply it to something else. But have you ever received something or someone that wasn't quite what you hoped for or expected? Right? Think about that. Maybe instead of gratitude for what God has provided, our hearts, your heart, my heart, desired something bigger, something better, something different than what we were given. So catch this. Oftentimes, it's not a matter of having something different. What we really need is a change of perspective. And that's exactly what I needed. You know, that's exactly what I needed when I was receiving this very generous gift. And that's what the Holy Spirit brought to my attention. And that's how He humbled me. So I confessed my sin before the Lord. I took it before Him. And I just clearly saw that, like, my heart was not in the right place. It wasn't until my grandfather passed away, less than a year later, that I was fully able to appreciate the gift that He has given me. Right? Why? Like, why did it take that? You know? I'm still asking that. You know, just how we're wired sometimes, you know? But what I came to is that His death all the more brought to light the evidence of His love for me. His death all the more brought the evidence of His love for me. The gift of His car was just one of many, many ways He modeled His generosity. I now see the Rendezvous as a beautiful reminder of my grandfather's love and legacy. And that car is so special to me. It's like the complete flip side of where my heart started out when I received it. Like, seriously, like, I have no interest at all to try and pursue another car. Like, I will drive that thing till it dies because I really have now come to accept and receive the blessing that it's been and just the cherished memories that I have of my grandfather. By the way, as I shared with you, if I did, I think, on the Kennedy weekend, and I'll try and hold back some emotion, he was my dad. Growing up, he was my dad. So, anyway, so in a similar way, you know, and this is where the Lord wants to bring us tonight, our Heavenly Father expresses His love for us in many different forms. He's a giver of good gifts. Sometimes we don't always see the gift as good. You know, sometimes our heart isn't always there. But the scripture says that He is a giver of good gifts. So James 1:17 says this: every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's the only constant one in this. Our God is faithful and true in all of His ways. All that I have and all that you have comes from Him. According to Jesus, even the birds would be foolish to think that they could feed themselves. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you asking that question today? Have you asked yourself that question? Do you question your worth to God? Do you question your value to God? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I get tripped up, you know, like any one of us, you know, we get that stinking thinking going and, you know, what can I do? You know, like, who am I? It's an honest question, you know. But be encouraged. We can answer that question. Are you not much more valuable than they? We can answer it together, and we can encourage each other in this, that yes, you are much more valuable. Yes, I am much more valuable to God our Creator, to our Heavenly Father. All of us hold great worth to God and are precious in His sight. Don't let anyone else ever tell you otherwise. Don't let any other message of culture tell you otherwise. You know, like we have to be strong in this truth, you know, that I am His possession. You know, I've been bought with the high price of Christ, His blood shed for me. You know, and now I'm His adopted son. You know, we're His adopted kids, His adopted sons and daughters. So this is who we're in relationship now. You know, so He relates to us as a good father. So consider His provision for our daily needs and the numerous ways He goes above and beyond to care for us. At times, so often, we don't even see it. There's probably a gazillion ways any one of us could, if we had the lens to fully see into what God is doing. Like, just think about how many accidents He spared me from, you know, or the times that we were close to death or whatever it might have been, or that blood clot that didn't burst right at that moment. You know, who knows? Like, who knows? Like, there's so much more. Yeah, sometimes they do burst, right? We got to come to Him in those times as well. But nonetheless, like, God knows it all. God knows it all. We always have something to be grateful for, even the unseen, you know, because we hold to His promises. So how could we not praise Him? How could we not praise Him? So God is a good Father. He cares generously for His children. And when we take time to truly reflect on His goodness and His love for us in Christ, it's then that we realize that He has given us much to be grateful for. And then, like I shared, sometimes if we're honest with ourselves and we're willing to be a little humble, we could easily miss it if we're not willing to accept these things. You know, we could easily miss His blessing, or seeing His blessing. But it takes a little humility sometimes, just like it did for me. Sometimes maybe we're too busy wishing for something else or complaining about what God has given us, and His praise gets robbed. Think about that. His praise gets robbed. You know, He wants to put praise in us. Like, how else does He make Himself known? You know, it's through us, His people. You know, it's through the church. So like me with my Camry, I was dwelling on what I did not have. I was dwelling on what I wanted. That it caused me to take for granted what I did have. What was so clearly given to me from above. So clearly given to me from above. So I don't know if any of you wrestle sometimes or even entering into Thanksgiving with a heart of ingratitude. You know, maybe there's something specific that this might relate to you in some small way. I don't know. I'm just speaking openly. But confess it to the Lord, you know. Bring it before Him and ask the Holy Spirit to readjust your perspective. You know, just like I had to ask the Holy Spirit to readjust my perspective. Sometimes you'll probably hear me talking about this moving forward, but I often talk about realignment. You know, we need a realignment with the truth, you know. We have to have a readjusted perspective. And that perspective must include keeping everything in view of the death of Christ, of His resurrection. Everything needs to be in view, keeping that in view. in light of Christ's death on the cross. This is why the scripture says in Hebrews 12:2, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross for us, right? We fix our eyes on him. He's our starting point. He's our starting point. If you can't find something to be grateful for, you know, this Thanksgiving, please, please. The cross is our remembrance of such great love, you know, for every one of us. Always start there. Always start there. So by keeping the sacrifice of Jesus in our perspective, in our lens, in our eyes fixed on him, we realize that God withheld nothing from us. He withheld nothing from us. He took the punishment for our sins that we might go free. Free from what? He freed us from the power of darkness that once bound us. He freed us from the curse of death itself so that we can now live in the reality of his resurrection power. Jesus said, I came, in John 10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life on my own initiative, he says. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. Nobody could take Christ's life. He laid it down willingly. That's what it's saying here. He laid it down willingly. So if you've received Christ, and you know this, you know, you have your sins forgiven. It doesn't end there. We now have the promise of his presence living inside of us, right? The Holy Spirit, you know? And it doesn't end there. We have an eternal inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance that compares to nothing this world can ever offer. All the esteems of men, right? All the security and riches of this world, right? It's fleeting. It's fleeting, right? We're wise. We're wise what God's entrusted us. Let's not miss this. But we know, we all know, these are fragile times. Our very being, our very heartbeat, you know, it's fragile. We're fragile creatures, right? But we have an eternal inheritance that compares to nothing this world could ever offer. And this is undeserved. This is unmerited grace. We did not earn it. Yet God gives it to us without hesitation to those who believe, to those who receive it by faith. It is a gift. Jesus laid down his life for me, for you, that we might be redeemed and restored in relationship to God, our Creator. Yeah, it's beautiful. In view of the cross, are you grateful today for such display of divine love? Right? Can't compare to any human love. I might even share this last time, I don't know, but I do say this too, like, no human love can compare, you know? Like, and that's where our perception is often skewed, because oftentimes we relate to God based off of our experiences in human relationships, and that's just wrong, you know? And yet, because we can't fully understand so much about him in a lot of ways, he relates to us as a father, just to give us a clue of what he's talking about as far as how much he treasures us, you know? And that was a very hard thing for me, by the way. I'm going to try and stay with the direction here. But, you know, I had a really tough time relating to God as father, let me tell you, because I didn't know what a father was. I didn't have one, you know? So, another story. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we have a tendency to relate to God based off of our human relationships, you know, whether how great or how horrible they might have been. You know, and that's why we need his word, right? Like, that's why we need his word. You got to treasure this word, because that's how we know his heart. We know his heart. And then the voices, the voices that come at us, that try and tell us otherwise, then it doesn't faze us. It doesn't trip us up anymore, because we're so confident in his promises. We're so confident in his truth. You know, that we are of much more value to him, right? So, Yeah. Undeserved, unmerited grace. It is a gift. If you haven't received that gift, his gift of life, his gift of love, his gift of salvation, talk to someone today. Talk to someone today. Let us come alongside you in that. You know, we all started there, every one of us. You know, if you're in Christ, we all have that starting point, right? That entry. Never the end. Never the end. Always the entry into just the beautiful relationship that God longs to have with us. So listen to this. Psalm 103. You know, just keep in mind right now, mercy, grace, mercy, grace. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12 says this. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's wild love. It's wild, crazy love. Only God can do this. Only God can do this. We hold on to the grudge, right? We hold on to the offense. Right? And we flip out and we withdraw, you know, and the Lord pursues us. And the Lord pursues us, right? He shows us much grace. We deserve nothing. So as believers, we're recipients of both mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Through Christ's death and resurrection. He's the greatest gift of all. And the depth of his love is immeasurable. Can't be counted. Can't be counted. Jesus left the glories of heaven to meet us in the midst of our brokenness, to restore us to the Father, reconcile us to the Father. He is enough. If we have nothing else, he is enough. Let's thank him today and remember that in everything else, every other blessing that may or may not come is only extra. Look at it as only extra. Right? Because Christ is enough. Amen. Without him, without the resurrection, what, like the Apostle Paul said, we're of all people to be pitied. You know, we're of all men to be pitied. You know? But we have this hope as an anchor of our soul, the scripture says. You know, that our life is not encompassed in the here and now. You know, we have a purpose now. You know, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the days ahead. But surely, you know, this isn't all there is. You know, like there's a glory awaits, you know, with the Savior. So if you're struggling to find something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, fix your eyes on Jesus. Know how infinitely loved you are by him. And the cross is our special reminder. You know, just like the rendezvous, right? It's a little similar thing here. Like, it does not compare in any way, but you know, I look at the rendezvous like I said to you, like complete 180 of perspective for me. Like, oh my gosh, like, I love my rendezvous. I can get excited about it now. I hope I would get more excited about Jesus because really, that's what delights his heart, you know, to give him endless praise for what he has done. So how quickly our soul moves from sorrow to joy, grumbling to gratitude, when we look at the cross of Christ and the empty grave and allow the magnitude of his love, his mercy, and faithfulness to change our perspective. Change our perspective. Always start there. So let's be on guard against going through the motions. You know, simply saying to God, we thank him in a religious sense. You know, it's like, oh, I ought to. You know, like, don't let it be an ought to. You know, let it be such a heartfelt expression of your gratitude for what he has done for every one of us. We need only to look at Jesus, you know, to discover what he has done. So he deserves our highest praise. And I'm going to close with this psalm, which really is kind of like the main psalm of this message, but I'm just kind of sharing it at the end. It's a little reverse. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 2, says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." So Did you catch that? In view of his goodness, his love and deliverance, the redeemed can't hold in their praises. They had to say so. They had to say something. You know, and God wants us to say something in whatever form that might look, okay? You know, like it's an expression. You know, it could be a life of gratitude. Not always our words, right? Not always our words. But reflect on that this week. Reflect on that this week, that the redeemed of the Lord say so. They say that you are good and your love endures forever. And I can't stand what's going on right now that's brewing behind the scenes here, but you are good. And your love endures forever. I'm always going to return to your truth, Lord, in light of the cross, in light of what you have done for me. So, and remember, he makes his praise known through us. You know, every one of us are living witness, you know, of what he has done. And that, again, speaks to our purpose. So the redeemed of the Lord say so. So in response to how the Holy Spirit might have spoken to you or anyone here, if you're being prompted to say so, if you're being prompted to share, you know, just a few words of thanksgiving this morning. Let's take a couple minutes right now. Let's take a couple minutes right now to lift up praises as a church family before a closing prayer, okay? Let's do that right now. Jesus, you are more than enough. You are enough. And even when it hurts to praise you, Lord, you call us to lift up that sacrifice of praise. God, that sacrifice of praise. So thank you, God, for meeting us here, for reminding every one of us of what we do have. Sometimes it might not be much at all as far as this world is concerned. But Jesus, we have you. And you are enough. Thank you for reconciling us into relationship with the Father. Thank you that your very presence lives inside of us now, and that we could commune with you, God, not just on Sunday, but Lord, every day. Thank you for seeing much more value in each of us. Lord, much more value in us. So let us have hearts of thanksgiving and praise as we go into this week, Lord. And help us to be on guard, Lord, of an ungrateful heart, a spirit of ingratitude. Lord, I pray against it in your name. So help us to be people who to demonstrate your praise with our words and with our deeds to make you known. For the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.